The UN's call for a ceasefire in Gaza is stirring up tensions and there are still concerns over aid. Hello, I'm Leanna Byrne and thank you for tuning in to the Marketplace Morning Report. And we're coming to you live from the BBC World Service and of course a very good morning to you. Now, there's been lots of discussion on the impact of the UN Security Council resolution on relations between the US and Israel. Yesterday, the UN called for a ceasefire in Gaza, and this has angered Israel, while others hope it's a turning point to ending the war. And let's not forget the aid situation, because that's been an issue since Israel began its operations after the attacks by Hamas on October 7th. The BBC's Lucy Williamson has been speaking to the Israeli army at a new aid crossing point on the Gaza border.
Gate 96 is little more than a hole in the border fence, but it leads straight into northern Gaza, where the warnings of famine are most acute. We watch as seven aid trucks line up to cross in under the boom of outgoing artillery. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has warned that Gaza faces an approaching famine.
Palestinians in Gaza desperately need what has been promised, a flood of aid. Not trickles, not drops. Some progress has been made, but much more needs to be done. Making that happen requires Israel removing the remaining obstacles and choke points to relief.
Gate 96 lets convoys bypass active conflict zones and destruction inside Gaza. But Israel says it won't allow any deliveries there from Gaza's main relief agency, UNRWA, saying the agency is linked to Hamas. UNRWA's director said it was outrageous and accused Israel of intentionally obstructing aid. At the border fence, Colonel Moshe Tetro, the chief aid coordinator for the Israeli army, or IDF, told me that the only limits on aid came from aid agencies themselves.
The IDF, we took a lot of measures in order to enlarge the amount of humanitarian aid, but the UN and other international organizations have some bottlenecks. They have issues and challenges regarding logistics of amount of trucks, amount of truck drivers, manpower, etc.
He pointed to the trucks waiting to cross, saying the evidence was right in front of us. 20 trucks had been approved to cross that night, he said, but only 7 showed up.
On this particular convoy, we were given a limit of 15 vetted drivers by the IDF that were cleared to use this route, but only 7 were available to us. Some had already gone up to Gaza City the day before, and they simply hadn't been able to return yet.
Matt Hollingworth, country director for the World Food Programme, was on board one of those trucks. He told me that Israel had approved just 15 drivers for this new route, and that half were stuck in Gaza City.
We literally need 50, 60, 70, 80 truck drivers cleared to use these routes every single day. We need more entry points to northern Gaza and Gaza City, and we need early approvals so that we can run multiple convoys every single day.
Colonel Tetro tells me there's no shortage of food in Gaza, and that if Hamas wants to change the situation there, they should end the war.
Do you think children are starving in Gaza?
I know that they are not.
So when you see those pictures of children starving in hospital, what do you think?
I say it, and I will say it again. As much as I know, there is no starvation in Gaza.
The crossing point opens and the trucks move off into the darkness on the other side of the fence. Israel is keen to show the world it's allowing more aid into Gaza, but says it's not responsible for the amount going in. International law says different. That Israel has a duty, not just to open the gates, but to get food and medicine to the people under its control.
That was the BBC's Lucy Williamson reporting. Now, let's do the numbers. UK house builder Bellway says its sales rate is up 20% now that mortgage rates here have stabilised. And Hong Kong stocks finished on a positive note, with investors gearing up for a week of key US data. Now, a court in China has sentenced the former president of its soccer governing body to life in prison after he took millions of dollars in bribes. Here's the BBC's Laura Bicker in Beijing.
Chen Shuyuan took advantage of his positions at the Chinese Football Association and other bodies to illegally accept large sums of money. The 67-year-old from Shanghai appeared in a televised documentary confessing to having accepted cash from those who wanted to get in his good books. The Chinese President Xi Jinping is a self-confessed fan of the game. He ordered a sweeping crackdown on corruption.
Laura Bicker reporting. Let's head to Quebec now in Canada, where the world's only maple syrup reserve, which is owned by a federation of producers, has reached a 16-year low. It's raised questions about how climate change could harm future supplies. The BBC's Monica Miller has the details.
Normally, it is designed to hold about 133 million pounds of maple syrup in any given year. But in 2023, that fell to 6.9 million pounds. And experts are saying that there's two reasons for that. One is there is a rise in demand, but also warmer weather, which has disrupted production. I mean, normally what happens is prime production time takes place typically between March and April, and it really relies on a delicate balance between below freezing temperatures overnight and warmer daytime temperatures. But the daytime temperatures have been so warm that it has had an impact on production.
And what does it mean for prices?
Initially, people are saying that it won't have any immediate impact on prices nor availability because it has such a large reserve. But if things don't improve, that could change in the future. I mean, Canada's, it's a billion-dollar industry. It had to come from somewhere, right? It's going to sit in barrels somewhere. And it accounts for about 75% of the world's entire maple syrup production. Now, what Canada has done is it has increased production already underway when it started to see the temperatures go in this direction around 2021. And what they did was they increased about 14 million new taps available to producers to boost the harvest, knowing that the temperatures tend to be rising, not falling.
That was the BBC's Monica Miller, and I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Have a great day and thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.